is 1621. The place is Plymouth Colony in the New World. A small but dedicated group of pilgrims had survived their first year having settled this new land. Thanks to the Indians and their own hard work, there was an abundance of food. The storehouses were filled for the winter ahead, and it was decided that a celebration should be held to show their thankfulness, and so plans were made for the first Thanksgiving. In the home of the fair Priscilla, preparations were well underway for this event. Priscilla is busy taking care.
Well, I swear, I've cleaned up the house as best I can. If I see one more turkey feather, I think I'll shoot myself. What a waste of time. Thanksgiving. Good heavens, someone's at the door. Oh, it's John Alden.
John Alden, young intellectual, planner for the colony, articulate spokesman, and for this particular visit, a new romantic go-between role for young John.
Why, hello, John.
Oh, good morning, Miss Priscilla. You must look ravishing today.
Well, thank you, John.
I have noticed that your beauty is surpassed only by nature herself.
Good heavens, how you go on. Excuse me if I look...
The more I look at you, the better I think that you'd make someone a wonderful, wonderful wife in these colonies, because...
Good heavens, John, thank you. You know, I was thinking the same thing. For a minute, I thought you were Miles Standish. That soldier drives me up the wall. Comes in here, that lilac vegetal, waving that sword. Knocked 3 duck and 5 chairs over last week. Oh, listen, by the way, John...
Oh, yes, what is, Miss Priscilla?
I've got the list here for the big party for the Thanksgiving feast.
Oh, yes, yes.
You did get the band. We decided, remember, at the committee meeting, we're going to have music this year. You said that
we were
going to
have
care of the music.
Now, just a moment. I recall talking to the caterer about the refreshments and the extra turkeys and the punch, but I don't recall anything about any band.
Why, John, I specifically told you on the big oak tree we had to have music, and you says, I know some musicians down in Pennsylvania, and I'll take care of the whole thing.
Outside the house, the military man finally arrived. It was Miles Standish, brave, heroic, number one military man in the colony, but when it came to affairs of the heart, a bit shy and backward, and indeed smitten by the fair Priscilla.
Oh, dear, I knew it couldn't last. You and I alone for a few minutes, and look who's old Iron Bucket out there. Come in!
Well, good morning, Miss Priscilla. Oh, how are you doing, Alden?
Oh,
Mr. Standish.
Well, Miss Priscilla, I've got to say that I think you're just a vision of loveliness. You know, I'm working on this little place down in Virginia.
Here comes the
Williamsburg.
Yeah, near the Williamsburg.
How'd you like it for Christmas?
Well, wrap it up and give it to me.
All right, it's yours. Make a note of that.
Hey, by the way, if he kissed you once, would he kiss you twice? Here, have a cert. Pop it in your mouth. You've been out with those animals too long.
Well, all right, if you...
Good, you needed that. Hey, listen, we've been having a little trouble, John and I. We both thought that each of us was going to get the music for the Thanksgiving festival, and John's decided it was you who suggested you take care of the music. Now, have you got the band? We need the music.
Oh, wait just a minute. Let me think back here. There's so many things on my mind. I'm a very busy man. I can't be bothered with trivia. Music for the,
That's right, music for the Thanksgiving feast. Now, John, it's either you or Miles Standish. Now, one of you decided to get the music.
I don't know.
Well, well, well. At last, the day of the big feast arrived. First came the Indians. Then came the pilgrims. But, to the disappointment of the assembled group, there was no music. No music at all.
Yes, sir.
Well, it had been a nice party up until now, and it would have been a perfect Thanksgiving if you, John, or you, Miles, or whoever was in charge was supposed to get the music.
I'd just like to say, Miss Priscilla, that if I was in error, you have my most humble apology.
Hey, I'll get your humble apology. You
know, I apologize, too, Priscilla.
Shut up, both of you. Make me sick.
Suddenly, in the distance, a rider approaches. It is an Indian, Massasoit. He dismounts and comes up to the multitude and speaks.
My name, Massasoit.
He rode his horse right into my cabin.
And him trained. Now, steady, big fellow.
Which Miles were?
Me, Indian agent.
Yeah, we know that.
Me, book bands. Me understand you look for orchestra. Word get around colony that you have big party, no music.
Good heavens, maybe the evening hasn't been lost yet.
We have music, no party. We like do business.
Me have band wait right outside. Them from Pennsylvania play nice polka music. Good for singing, good for listening, good for dance. Them on way to North Dakota. Gonna form big band out there. In fact, band leader right outside now.
Oh, good heavens. How wonderful. The evening's going to be saved.
Well, this must be the place where you want the music. Is that right, boys? Put up your instruments right over there, please.
He certainly is a pleasant sounding fellow.
We're going to have a little dancing, a little singing. What is your name, ma'am?
My name is Priscilla, sir.
You're a vision of fair loveliness, sir.
How you polka players do go on. Good heavens, you play that accordion, don't you?
Yes, that's right. We make beautiful music with this accordion. Some people call it the squeeze box.
Well, I can't hardly wait to hear your music, so help make this a festive occasion to remember, Mr. Music Maker.
All right, boys. One and the two and... Isn't that a catchy little number? Yes, that's what I'm going to use for my theme song all the time.
Hey, I might even dance with Miles Standish with music like that.
I just wish we had some food to go along with it. Oh, there's some turkey over there on that table.
I'm so sorry you got here late. It was nice and hot just a few minutes ago, but it's cold turkey now. Here, what's that you have in your
hand? This is something I call aluminum foil. I'll just wrap up some of this turkey in here and take it with me and heat it up later.
Never seen aluminum foil before.
This is something I just invented. I've been selling it to the Indians to wrap their dinners in. They eat them at home in their teepee. We call them teepee dinners.
No kidding.
Yes, someday in the future, all America will be sitting around on Saturday nights. They'll be listening to my music, tapping their feet, and eating teepee dinners. Or who knows, they might even be called something else by then.
And so a good time was had by all. The Indians were happy. The Pilgrims were happy. John and Priscilla were happy. Even Miles smiled.
Yeah.
And you, Mr. Bandleader, how do you feel about this first Thanksgiving?
Wonderful or wonderful?
May your Thanksgiving be just as the first one was, filled with love for all, food on your table, and thanks, grateful thanks in your heart for all the blessings of life.
Hotel Rosenfeld in New Orleans, Louisiana, overlooking beautiful Lake Pontchartrain, where the Creole cuties meet the Cajun beauties. It's time once again for the music of... We got some new silverware in the club today. Time of Pee Wee Mozzarella and the Band, featuring Al Nerd on trumpet and Spiffy Spiffinelli on clarinet. And now, stepping up to our microphone, here is Pee Wee's sound. Well, we have a good crowd in the room today. Now, what's the band going to play for us this evening? One of the great songs of that great tragedian of comedy. What is that? Ted Lewis, When My Baby Smiles at Me. Stop counting, Pee Wee, they're already playing. It was a pleasure. Don't forget, the next time you're doing your grocery shopping, insist on Jubal Early Stewart's delicious grits, both instant and regular. Remember, those wonderful grits will give you fish. Give it a try. And from the beautiful Hotel Rosenfeld in New Orleans, Louisiana, overlooking Lake Pontchartrain, this is your announcer, hardly audible.
Temperatures climb, and the sky is blue, and on a day like today, we pass the time away writing love letters in the sand. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Good. At the door, ladies and gentlemen, our poet laureate, Randolph W. Gould.
Oh, hey, fever.
With an allergy problem.
My nose is driving me crazy.
Mr. Gould.
Mm.
Mr. Goons.
Excuse me.
About to recite a poem. Are you all right there?
Can I borrow your Kleenex?
Here you are. Mr. Goon's poem this afternoon is entitled. Please, Mr. Goon, we're on the air. Mr. Goon will now recite for you Methuselah.
Thank you, Mr. Alther.
Thank you. I think you did it that time.
Yeah, I think I busted my cord here. Good evening, poet lovers, or afternoon or morning or whatever time it is. It's indeed a pleasure to be a part of this wonderful industry.
I've already done that. Now just read the poem.
The poem is entitled Methuselah. Methuselah ate what he found on his plate, and never as people do now, did he note the amount of the calorie count. He ate it because it was chow. Excuse me. Oh, he broke my whistle here. He wasn't disturbed as at dinner he sat devouring a roast or a pig to think it was lacking in granular fat or a couple of vitamins shy. He cheerfully chewed each species of food, unmindful of troubles or fears. Excuse me. Lest his health might be hurt by some fancy dessert. And Methuselah, you know, lived over 900 years. A little.
I think there's a moral in that.
Power to the people,
yes. A little message.
Power to the piggies. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and eat all you want and enjoy yourselves.
And now your thought for today.
Yes.
Your thought for today.
Certainly, my thought for the day is, as you go through life, keep your chin up, and you'll probably run into a door or some low-hanging ceiling or something.
Until next, when we hear more poems, it's goodbye to all of you, from all of us.
Excuse me.
And from the rather nasal Randolph W. Goon, our poet of the air, on this radio station.
Out of the sidewalks, three floors below ground level, neath the footsteps of a million Manhattanites, comes the rippling rhythms of Raymond LaRoche and the Radio Revelers and his diddly-diddly-dee big band sound. Music live and lively with that bouncy beat to set your feet tapping and scrapping, danceable ditties, the charmest ditties, nostalgic mood. Hummable, strummable music amalgamations that set your torso into gyrations of gesticulation and salutations. The sensible, sensuous, sardonic, sylph-like, satirical sounds of Simonette on piano, Louis Lavallero on trombone, and of course, our own beloved kitten of the clarinet, Raymond LaRoche. These shimmering sharps and flats are sent your radio away by the number one tourist attraction on Jersey State Route number I-88, Clancy's Monkey and Snake Farm, where there's always something of interest to see for all the family, including you and me. Take the family to Clancy's Monkey and Snake Farm this weekend and swing a little. Thank you, Clancy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Raymond LaRoche and the Radio Revelers swing out with the old favorite, It Must Be True. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the rippling radio rhythms of Raymond LaRoche and the All-Stars from the Boom Boom Room at the Hotel Alabaster in downtown New York City, out of the sidewalks, three floors below the ground level, neath the footsteps of a million Manhattanites. The rippling rhythms of Raymond LaRoche coming to you from downtown New York City. And all brought to you by Clancy's Monkey and Steak Farm, where there's always something of interest to see. Remember, Clancy's Monkey and Steak Farm on Jersey State Road I-88, just below Barrigan Speech Farm. And now, until next time, this is your announcer, High Drawers, saying so long.
It's time now for Dear Lucille. Lucille O'Neill, lecturer, doctor of psychology, and Potomac Playgirl in the award-winning series Dear Lucille. For you, the listeners, send Lucille your problems. Now, please keep in mind that Lucille does not answer questions of political, medical, religious, analytical, technological, hypothetical, numerical, or extremely intimately personal nature.
Narrows it down, doesn't it?
Dear Lucille is brought to you in the 24th year now by Madame Mamiuch's Calming Tea, the tea from the Orient made by Orientals for Oriental problems. Madame Mamiuch's tea is made made from a treasured old recipe of 75 rare blends of Far Eastern tea leaves, plus a hint of soy sauce to calm you down when your temper flares up. Look for the big red box with a sleeping dragon on the front, and you've got Madame Mamiuch right where you want her. That's Madame Mamiuch's calming tea, now available in instant. And now, here's Dear Lucille.
Thank you very much, Willard.
Over here, dear. The microphone over here. There you go.
Thank you very much, Willard Scott, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And the radio audience, which is vastly becoming larger, I'm sure.
Well, so are you, Lucille.
That's not kind at all.
Been to one of our restaurants.
It's a lovely, wonderful day.
I'd like to say you look simply beautiful.
I'd love to have you say that.
I'd like to be able to, but I signed an oath the other day that I wouldn't lie on the air.
We don't allow any oaths on the radio. What's our first... Pray tell me, what is our first letter in that big mailbag you
Let
have
me dip into the old bag over here. Ooh, pardon me, Lucille. A father from Alexandria writes, Dear Lucille, we have this teenage daughter, and we've always tried to raise her to be a good and responsible girl.
That's nice.
Recently, she's been smitten with a suburban hippie cult. Mm-hmm. More of a weekend-type hippie than a full-time one, you understand. Now, I didn't think too much about it at first. You know, old jeans, no shoes, long hair, right on, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then a month ago, she brought this boyfriend home with her, and now he is living in the garage behind our house.
Oh, dear.
And, of course, he eats, and we pay for the food. And, of course, he has no job. 2 weeks ago, his brother moved in with him, and he eats, too. Last week, his mother and father came by for a visit, and now they, too, are in my garage. His father asked me just yesterday if I would be kind enough to move my power tools out of the garage into the basement so they could have more room, and if he could possibly use the spare TV that we normally keep in the rec room. Well, his father is unemployed, and both he and the mother eat also. My daughter says if they go, she goes, too. My wife cries a lot, and I'm going broke. What can I do? Signed, No Vacancy.
Dear No Vacancy, simply enough, why don't you tell them that it's fix-up time and you have a little job for each and every one of them to do? In the words of that old Chinese philosopher, no worky, no turkey. Thank you. Speaking of turkey, this was a bad one.
And so that's it, friends.
That's it, friends.
As we say in the show business, we're going to put a slug in the lock and close the joint until next week. Dear Lucille is brought to you, as she has been for 25 years now, by Madame Mamiuch's Calming Tea, the tea from the Orient made by Orientals for Oriental problems. Madame Mamiuch's Tea. A treasured old recipe with a hint of soy sauce to calm you down when your temper flares up. Look for the big red box with the passed-out dragon on the front. And you've got Madame Mamiuch where you want her.
I'll take a shot right now.
A Sod Buster, the story of U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard and his sidekick, Chester Drawer.
Come here, Chester.
Yes, Mr. Dillard, I just... Oh! Kicked me right in the side, Marshal. You done busted me up real good. I think you done flipped me there.
From out on MacArthur Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Platinum. Hi-ho, slobber. It's the Sod Buster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard and his sidekick Chester Drawers. It is just past midday in the sleepy town of Tacoma Park. Inside the territory of Hyattsville and on up beyond West Route 40, the Sod Busters settle for law, order, and the American way of life.
As our story opens, we find ourselves in the Sod Busters' office.
Yeah.
He is going over some papers, reading some leaflets just in from St. Louis.
Wanted posters, yeah.
To make sure that all the hombres that were being searched out for diligently by the law had not been encountered.
Yeah. Boy, rolling your own smoke just ain't...
Lights up a cigarette. Takes a puff and blows out the match. Scratches himself because it's about midway between you-know-who and the long winter time. Scratches away.
Chester?
Yes, Mr. Dillard?
Chester, come here.
Chester Drawers is his sidekick, the U.S. Marshal's special deputy. As our story opens, Chester comes in the room.
Chester?
Yes, Marshal.
I notice you've been gazing out that window across the street to the Short Branch Saloon all day. What in the world is bothering you over there?
Marshal, I wish you hadn't asked me that.
Well, Chester, it's as obvious as the nose on your face, and that's pretty obvious that there's something bothering you, Chester, and I know you well enough, and I want to know what it is.
Marshal, I'd said the doggone it I wasn't going to tell you.
Well, you got to tell me, Chester. There's something illegal going on around here. I want to know about it.
Well, Marshal, Here's a poster I stuck in my jacket. I wasn't going to show you.
Let me see that. Dirty Pete and the show is back. In Dirty Pete. You know who Dirty Pete is?
Yes, Marshall. Only
runs them girly shows, Chester. Well, we don't want that kind of
show.
Read
the rest of the poster, though. It says, and this is the part that's got me stumped, Marshall. It says, Dirty Pete, Kansas City impresario, in town with his all Walt Disney review.
That's just a come on, Chester. Is that him walking down the street over there?
Marshall, I think that's him.
Come on, let's go out there and see if we can catch him before he gives out here. Hey, Pete, Pete, hold up a minute.
Howdy.
I want to talk to you.
Yeah, Marshall.
This poster Chester found here. What's this about a show over at the Short Branch?
Pretty good likeness of it, ain't it, Marshall?
Yeah, well, Pete, you know I told you 5 years ago never to set foot back in this town as long as you were operating that kind of a show here.
Now, hold on, Marshall, hold on. I've gone legit.
That'll be the day.
I brought a show in from Hollywood, California.
Ha!
All Walt Disney review.
Walt Disney. I know the kind of reviews you have, Chad.
Well, you don't believe it? Come on over to the Long Branch and I'll show you.
When does the show begin?
Come on.
Come on over here. Boy, if you're pulling my leg, Pete, I'm going to throw you behind bars so fast. Come on in here.
Marshall, I wouldn't lie to you. You know that. Holding it. Piano player's just about ready to stop playing the piano now. And the show's about ready to go on. I told you, Marshall, it's a family show. It's an all Walt Disney review.
All right. I'm watching. Watching.
Hey, Curly, put the curtain up.
Okay.
Who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me? What do you think?
Well, Pete, I'll tell you the truth. Chester.
Bad, Marshall.
Chester, your eyes are bugged out so much you could knock them off with a stick. Now, what are you looking at?
Marshall, all I got to say is,
The story of the Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard, as he lived it and as he wrote it. The Sodbuster is written for radio by Ole O'Leahy, produced by the NBC Newsroom on the weekend. This program came to you transcribed from Beltsville. This has been a Midget Turkey production.
That sweet melody called doodly-doo, doodly-doo, day-day-day. Put the old uke down, how are ya, how are ya? Golly, it's the old blackhead. Good morning, everybody. Golly, it's nice. It's a pretty day. I'm down here in Leesburg on the thaw this morning. Golly, it's a... There's a crow over there from the old vaudeville team. Golly, it's so nice. Folks, we're doing a two-way setup. We got Tony Meatball and Jeanette and the McGillicuddy sisters and the mutineers, Julius LaMazza, all up in New York on the relay. I'm down here in Virginia. Let me call the folks in. See, hello, Tony. This is the old blackhead down in Virginia. Hello, Tony. Really, nobody answers. All right, Jeanette, how about singing a little song for all the folks that might be listening? Here's Jeanette, ladies and gentlemen. Son of a gun. She's not there. Well, we got the McGillicuddy sisters. Wonderful bunch of girls. Come on in, girls, and sing a little number for the folks. Son of a gun. Can't understand. Wait a minute. Telling Ned, here's a memo I sent. Please take off as I will be trout fishing in the... I'll be doggone. The fellas and the gals apparently took the day off and there's nobody in New York. Oh, well. Please play for me that sweet melody called...
Thanks for letting us park the old buckboard outside your house there. It's time for the all-night country music picking and singing jamboree from the capital of country music in the world. I did it in reverse just to show you how to do it backwards.
That's right.
I'm doing it again.
Yes, sir, here we go. And from WWVO, Sorghums, West Virginia.
Hey, listen, friends and neighbors, we're so proud to be here on...
How long do you want me to play this theme
here? Come here, Miss Jensen. Oh. Here, we love everybody. We don't have any...
Get your hands off of me.
Hey, I think I got his dentine.
Woo, you got my denture, Let me fade this down here, will you?
Fade the pot down. Hey, we got to get some of that spray juice and put it on them pots. We got dirty pots around here.
Whole place is dirty, ask me. Well, friends, our first 15 minutes tonight brought to you by a wonderful new sponsor, the Fat Lip Home Instruction Course in Boxing from Punch Drunk, Pennsylvania. Now, friends.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. That's your line.
Oh, you got to. Oh, no. The Fat Lip Course is all that you need to make you proficient in the defensive tactics. And it'll also make you offensive if you don't take a shower after a fast workout. Now, when you enroll in the Fat Lip Course, here's what you will receive to keep fit.
First, friends, an instructional pamphlet on how to pick fights with people. Because, unfortunately, the laws governing interstate commerce being what they are, we cannot ship sparring partners through the mail. Mm. Two, a dozen selected rabbit punches for those of you who may be fighting rabbits. And three, a pair of nylon stretch track shoes guaranteed to fit any foot. These are just in case you may flunk the Fat Lip Course.
Well, now, I want you to hear what Mr. Otis Bumgartner has to say about the Fat Lip Course after picking a fight with his neighbor. Otis?
Well, I'll tell you. Actually, I didn't make out too good. See, I didn't do as well as I thought I would because my neighbor happens to be Joe Frazier.
Friends, in order that we throw in a Fat Lip good luck charm, you just be prompt in sending your name and address to us. This good luck charm is a 12-pound pig of lead shaped like a fist, which if you carry it with you into every match, you'll always have better than average luck. Send $2.98 to Take a Dive, WWPU Sorghums, West Virginia.
Who'd you expect at these prices? Jed Akins?
Well, that's about all the time we have for another week of picking and singing in the all-night country music jamboree. Until next week, this is old Hootmore, my brother Noe.
Hello.
Noe's on the phone again. Doggone it. Noe's always on the telephone.
I'll tell him. Thank you a whole lot.
All right. Who's that, Noe?
P.I.K. They want you to come over and pick up your audition tape.
Okay. You tell him where Lazy Luther is. I'll go and get my audition tape.
Bless your hearts, friends. Lazy Luther and the Sugarloaf Mountain Boys, next Monday and Tuesday, will be appearing at the Band the Bomb demonstration at Big Mouth, Montana. And next Wednesday and Thursday night at the radar installation groundbreaking at Little America in Antarctica. And next Friday afternoon at the Juan Valdez Memorial Coffee Break in Bogota, Colombia. That's in Colombia and Maryland at the Bogotas. I'm sorry, it's a house out there. And then finally, next Saturday night, the boys will be at the Shakespearean Folk Festival at Take It on the Chin, England. And that's where Lazy Luther and the Sugarloaf Mountain Boys will be all next week. We thank you a whole lot.
Yeah, I brought your audition tape, too, while I was out there. All right.
And dirty dogs. They said they'd never tell.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Chuck, good
ladies,
to see you.
Charles is the name, if you don't mind.
Well, Chuck, I suppose you're going to do one of those naughty recitations.
For all of the young ladies listening in out there.
How about some of the older chicks? Can they listen?
All ladies are young to Charles.
Hey, Chucky boy, right in there, Grandma. That's
never.
Right.
Age is meaningless to me.
That's terrific.
Age is a state of mind.
That's marvelous.
And now for all you old ladies out there.
How come you're always running around with young chicks if you're so democratic?
Well, that is the state of my mind.
Well, that shows that there's still a little fire left in the old boiler, right?
I hope to tell you.
Right in the flat hat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
As we say in the old Navy. Okay, Chuck, what are you going to do for
I'm
us?
Burning coal with a diesel engine.
That's right. Every once in a while the engine misses, but it gets there, right?
Better late than never.
Hey, this has turned into a philosophy hour.
I think I'll start a new series on this station with
these
gems.
You've seen
a memo. Gems of wisdom here. But today I thought I would recite one of the great standard ballads of all time. Darling, are you listening?
Me? Sure.
No, not you.
Oh.
And when I tell them how wonderful you are, they didn't believe me. They didn't believe me.
Ash,
Shut up!
Your lips, your eyes, your cheeks, your hair are in a class beyond compare. You're the loveliest girl that one could see.
She's under the table. I'll go get her.
And when I tell them...
Excuse me, sir, I didn't...
And I'm certainly going to tell them... that I'm the man whose wife one day you'll be. They'll never believe me. How could they...
Rotten thing bit.
...believe me? That from this great big world, you've chosen me.
Have some cremorium, kid. Come here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
And when I tell them,
here, kitty.
And I'm certainly going to tell them,
here, boy. Girl.
That I'm the man whose wife one day you'll be. They'll never believe me. Of course they won't. How could they? How could they believe me?
Almost got him.
That from this great big world, you've chosen me. So until next week, my darling, this is your friend Charles saying au revoir, and I love you very much.
Come along, kitty. Come with Charles.
Howdy, friends and neighbors, and well, here we go with the all-night country music picking and singing jamboree from WWPU, Sorghums, West Virginia, the country music capital of the world. It's your old coffee-drinking night owl, Hootmore, my brother, Noe. Get off the phone, though, and say hello to folks out there.
Honey, I'll call you back. Ha! Folks and friends and neighbors out there in Radio Land, and bless your hearts, livers, adenoids, kidneys, and everything else working fine.
Now, our first sponsor this week happens to be the Windbag Balloon Company of Hot Air, Ohio.
Friends, this wonderful windy weather we're having right here is just perfect for a windbag. Sure. The Windbag Company is making a guaranteed offer on balloons. Now, these are genuine balloons, good for traveling or spying around or going up and down sideways or in Milady's chamber. These balloons measure 40 feet in diameter and once were pursuit balloons used in aerial combat during the big war.
Now, friends, they are safe for young or old alike. Now, just hear what Mr. Clyde Johnson has to say about using a windbag.
Yes, sir. Just finished some balloon pleasure traveling.
Yes, sir. Well, now, how was your trip, sir?
It wasn't too bad. You had a lot of fun racing clouds and things.
How old are you, Mr. Johnson?
I'm 71, come my next birthday.
Now, think of that, friends. Here's a man who, at the age of 71, has set out on a balloon trip.
Oh, no. I wasn't 71 when I set out. I was only 26.
Oh.
See, I took off back in 1923. I couldn't land
it. I got you. All right, friends. Now, we'd be the first ones to admit that balloon travel ain't exactly the thing for just everybody. Now, for example, take the case of Mr. Jet Thompson.
Yes, sir. I tried using a balloon to get me around on my job, and it just didn't work out too well.
Well, what is your job, Jet?
I'm a door-to-door salesman.
Now, folks, if you order right away, we'll throw in free enough armor plating to make your balloon safe from ground or aerial attacks. That's right, sections of 3-inch steel plating, which will fit around your balloon like an orange peel, and is guaranteed to stop a cannonball. Just send $2.98 to Big Blowout, WWPU, Sorghums, West Virginia.
Everybody loves the left. The whole world loves the weirdo.
Hey, that's about all the time we have for this week. So, until next week. Before we leave you, let's find out where Lazy Luther's appearing this weekend. All right?
Right on, as they say at the big top 40 operations. Yeah. Lazy Luther and the Sugarloaf Mountain Boys next Monday will be appearing at Herschel's Hog Calling at Swineland, New Jersey. Next Tuesday and Wednesday, the Smoky Mountain Boys will be at the Stockyard Igogo in Chicago. And next Thursday night at the Metrical for Lunch Bunch, the NBC Cafeteria. And finally, next Saturday night, the Big Buckboard will be calling for all the gang at the interview roundup at Ketchum on the Run, England.
Yes, sir. Thank you just a whole lot. Your old boyfriend, Hootmore, my brother, knows, saying so long. And in response to all of our letters, yes, the Spearmint does lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight. I'll see you next week, folks. Bye-bye.